Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trendsetting Women. And with me today is our leading lady, Maggie Pound of First Choice Business Brokers. And good morning, Maggie.
Good morning, Barbara.
It's so much fun for me to be talking to someone that I've known for a long time and kind of know your background, but just really to get into understanding this business that you're in now and how it can really support our own listeners out there as they look at their business because they want to be able to structure it perhaps in the long run to sell. So share with us, what is it about your background that you brought that brought you into being a business broker?
Well, you know, Barbara, you're right. We have known each other for a lot of years, and that I have gone through a number of different generations of my way to be able to contribute to the world and earn a living. I started off as a social worker. You may or may not know that, but that was the first thing I did when I got out of college. And I learned a lot about people. I had come from a pretty sheltered environment, and it was a great way to learn about people and how people ended up being successful and not being on public assistance. And one of the things that I learned in that was people that thought about the end in mind, that someday they would want to be able to own their own business and not be dependent on other people, became really clear to me. You know, it was like a way to structure your life. And so part of structuring my life was making sure that I had something that I was going to be able to do throughout my life that would be challenging and rewarding, financially rewarding. I had a number of positions that in corporate America, which I think really helped me be of greater value to the people I work with today. I was a clinic manager for the pediatrics department, a human resources development person, administration. So I understand management. I understand human resources, how to develop people. Then I went into sales and marketing and did that for about 10 to 15 years. With other people, and then became a business owner myself and actually got to apply a lot of the skills that I had developed. I always looked for a way to leverage this breadth of experience because it's, you know, it is pretty broad. And one of the things that I got involved with, and it's, you know, actually met many business owners that I still have relationships with, was a trade exchange where I got to work with a lot of different business owners of lots of different industries. So I've always been a lifelong learner, and I got to pick what I wanted to learn about. So if I wanted to learn about a bicycle shop, I'd go and meet with a variety of bicycle shop owners. And I got to know them pretty close. You know, we developed some pretty close relationships because I was a resource for them that they otherwise didn't have. And those close relationships, I was able to learn a lot about businesses and what kind of businesses succeeded. And I really got to appreciate the challenge of owning your own business. This was before I became a business owner. And I've always had the desire to be of assistance or to contribute to people. So that was the other thing that was important to me, not only to use my breadth of experience, but also find a way to contribute to other people.
Well, you know, I just know you really strongly as a great connector of people, and it's also your you have a desire to know, you know, to dig deeper and know more so that you can be that connector for people. So, I understand why you got into this kind of business. It just seems like a natural for you. So let's talk about it from the other side. What do you think are the advantages of you being a business broker for people who are in business at this time?
Well, you may or may not know that I have been a California licensed real estate person, and a real estate license is required to be a business broker. So I've done it for 35 years as in various areas of real estate, residential, commercial leasing, property management. None of those really enthralled me. What I really like is the idea of being an entrepreneur. And so when I left Kaiser, I actually thought at that time of opening up a business myself. And I thought, what kind of businesses are out there that somebody could open up? And so I went to the classified, and I found this company called Business Opportunities Unlimited. This is, I think it's over 20 years ago. It was like 20, 25 years ago. And so I went and I started investigating this business opportunities. It was so different then, and I couldn't have really been the supporter for my profession then that I can today. At that time, business brokering was so different. There was no internet. Everybody had to buy businesses out of the classified, so it was very difficult selling businesses. There are very few systems to value businesses. There was no comps of businesses like what we have now so that we can really come up with a good market value. I just really love the company I have now because First Choice Business Broker is a leader in this industry with the systems and processes and procedures that they have to protect both the buyer and the seller. And I think that's one of the things that I really love about what I can do now is help people. Lots of times people think, I'll just sell my business myself. I won't use a business broker. And selling a house when you don't, when you're not using a realtor. I know a lot of people used to do that. It's become very complicated, and it's not something that a lot of people want to take on anymore. Well, business brokering has more complications, more legal considerations than even selling a house. So I think it's really important that people understand what those legal considerations are, because I hear horror stories all the time when people, horror stories and also a little depressing that people sold a business, thought the business was worth $1 million. When I really looked at the numbers, the business was probably worth $3 million. And so they walked away with $2 million that the buyer secured for all their hard work and hard efforts. And that's sad to me, So I always recommend to people, even if you're going to sell it yourself, at least let me evaluate the business and help you come up with a good market price for it. We recognize that some people already have somebody that wants to buy their business, that has expressed an interest, and we can work with those people as well on a reduced fee for our services.
I think sometimes, too, business owners don't realize that they have assets that are sometimes more valuable than the business itself. I remember a conversation I had with a business broker many years ago, and he told the story of coming into a business, and it was the process of whatever it was they were making that was more valuable than the business, and they were able to get so much more for it. But without that extra set of eyes, it really would have been a loss for the person selling the business. So is advantageous, when you have somebody else on your side. And, you have a particular way about you. What do you think your strengths are in doing this kind of business? I mean, what you bring to the table is different than, I know, the paperwork. So what is it, that you see that, really entices you to
see all levels of business, I guess, because that's what it takes. It's a big spectrum, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's what's one of the things that I think I bring to the conversation that's pretty unique is the understanding of the emotional aspects that are involved. You know, having been involved most of my career with, something to do with human resources, and having to go through the whole process of helping people choose a different employer besides us, like going through the termination. There was a lot of emotional stuff involved in that career. And, there's an emotional aspect of both sides, but especially selling your business. And if the person started the business themselves, so it's their baby, truly their baby, the emotions that come up when somebody starts thinking about selling their business is fascinating. And I try to help people move from thinking of their business as their baby into your business as an asset. It's an asset that you've grown, unlike your child. We can't really think of our children as being assets, but this is an asset. You've worked hard. You've put your blood, sweat, and brilliance into this asset, and it's important to separate yourself and not be too emotional. Oftentimes, when we put buyers and sellers together for a meeting, which is pretty far down the line, you can feel that emotion coming up from the seller, and it's like we try to have them understand, don't love your business so much that somebody thinks they can't come in and do it, can't come in and run your business. Does that make sense? So,
experiencing it myself, yes, I understand that, Maggie.
the other piece is that's fascinating is a lot of the owners are really unrealistic on how much their business is worth. They think it's worth three times what it, there are standards that people that are buying business look at. There are comps that are available to them. They can look at businesses that have sold. And, sometimes there's an anomaly that somebody will sell a business that probably was only worth $300,000 and they'll sell it for, $500,000. But they're anomalies. And so, owners will look at that one. Well, I know somebody that sold this pet shop and this pet grooming, and they sold it for this amount of money, and they weren't in business for as long as I was. There's so many considerations. There's in buying residential real estate, it's location, location, location. Well, if it's location is important, what kind of traffic does it have? All those kind of considerations. So one of the things that I think I add to the conversation is being honest with people and being direct without having them feel bad about the business not being worth what they think it was worth when they came to meet with me, and to have them understand we can advertise your business for that amount, but do you want me to advertise your business or sell your business?
Great question.
And they have this, I don't want to have to pay that fee. I want the buyer to pay that fee. Well, then, that's going to add on this additional amount of money when they don't want to pay for the service of having their business represented. And if there's questions, I tell them, look, at 90% of what I do, I don't even get paid for. So
right.
So that's always an interesting one too, is I think I'm really glad I became a business owner before I started to do this, because it allows me to be direct with people, much more direct than when I was in the corporate environment.
Listening to business is like tipping your toe in the water.
Doing what?
You're tipping your toe in the water. You're not really committed to it. Just listing the business, when you're looking to sell it, is you have a whole different, you have to have a whole different mindset. So, so what do you think has been the biggest learning for you in this process of really dealing with the sale of businesses?
Oh, the need for patience, I think, has been my biggest learning. Typically houses sell in 3 months or less now. It's very much a seller's market right now. Businesses you know, it's a buyer's market, number one. Most businesses do not sell. You know, less than 50% of the businesses actually that are on the market ever sell. And in business, it can be, you know, typical is 6 months for selling a business. And during that process, there's so it's an emotional roller coaster for us because we think we have everything in place, and then we get into due diligence, which is very intense. You know, all kinds of things can come up that delay the business transaction even further. So patience, I think, that I would need this much patience. I know I needed patience, but this much patience? I think the other thing is that people, you know, think of their business on the short run, so they do things that are going to hurt them in the long run. And if there's some way that I could be in front of people and help them understand the impact that their short-run thinking could cause on the long run for the value of their business, and that it would be a multiple, you know, because multiples of net income is what most people are looking at. So when people understate their income on their income tax because they're able to do some of their business, you know, either for trade or for cash, and mm-hmm. then they want to include that money when we sell the business, you know, and it's not on their income tax, you know, it really hurts. It hurts the business. You know, it hurts the business from the standpoint of, well, if they're willing to lie on that, what else are they willing to lie on? You know, what else is there to uncover here? So it puts up that, you know, that whole thing. And so, and then the other thing is how few owners have a succession plan. Just blown away. You know, I'll ask people, you know, have you thought about ever selling your business? It's like, no. No, never have. You know, and if I could get them to start thinking about their business with the end in mind, you know, like, and really prepare for it now, to have a succession plan, to have people know how their business operates. Because there's a lot of people, especially on a business that has, you know, some traction. You've got vendors, you've got customers, you've got clients, you've got employees, you have your landlord, you have all these moving parts. And most people don't have anything documented as to how to run their business. No procedure manuals, no job descriptions, you know, nothing like that. And it makes the business, number one, more difficult to sell because somebody can't just come in and, you know, most people get a couple of weeks of training, but, you know, 2 weeks of training, if it's a complex business, is not enough time. If you don't have any procedure manuals that a person can refer to when they come up with questions. So that's the other thing that, you know, having worked for large corporations and, you know, have a policy on absolutely everything, to have as few policies and procedures as most businesses have has been a real learning for me.
Okay. Just, you know, just let's stop a minute. Just in case our listeners want to reach out to you after the show, how would you like them to contact you?
Well, my email is the best way. It's Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at F-C-B-B, so that's Frank Charles Bravo Bravo .com. So Maggie at F-C-B-B.com. The other way would be through telephone, especially if they would like, you know, have a conversation. But you know, if they send me an email and ask me to call them, I can easily do that. I can schedule that time. But my phone number is 619-890-0859.
Great. Thank you. Well, you know, I know you are a very active person in both business and personally. So, you know, how do you handle all this? What do you think the biggest challenge for you personally, both from the business and the personal side, Maggie, to be in the business that you're in and still, you know, live the life that you want to lead?
Well, that's a great question, Barbara. And I think, you know, one of the things that I recognized when I got into business opportunities 20 years ago is it's not for a person that has a family life where they don't have a second person to help with the children. And I didn't. And so Today, I don't have children living at home. I don't have any of those responsibilities. So, you know, it's both a yin and a yang, because I can do business on, you know, like I have an appointment tonight at 5 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I can do business in the evenings. I can do business on weekends. Many times business owners do want to meet on the weekends or on the evenings because they don't want their employees knowing that they are selling their business. You know, and that's a very big part of why it makes sense to have someone like me representing a business, is because you don't want the public knowing you're selling your business. Not, you know, you don't want to put it out there to everybody, hey, guess what, I'm selling my business. So, you know, so we have to think about that when we're scheduling our appointments. Frequently we'll meet at a Starbucks. The owner will come across the street or down in a mall so that we can meet at a Starbucks, and that works too. But anyway, as far as balance, I think, you know, for me, you know, it's recognizing that I don't need every business out there. I don't need to work with every business out there. So, you know, when people approach me now, I look at it with, you know, is this, you know, I don't want to just advertise businesses. I want to help people that want to move on to their next chapter sell their business, because, you know, it's time consuming for both of us. And so now, to balance out things, I am not just taking listings if I don't think the business is going to sell. And I don't want to prejudge, because, you know, I have listed businesses that, you know, some people might think, yeah, business will never sell, and it sold. Yeah, so I think that's for me. You know, the other thing is not working with people who are drainers of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that? You know, like people who know so much about their business that they think they can do my business too.
Mm.
Okay.
You
so
mean
those
really
people
out
who,
huh? You mean they're really out there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, they're, you know, many times we'll advertise a business and it might be a month before we have the first buyer interest. I mean, we're advertising on over 25 different websites, depending on the business, where it's located, what kind of business it is.
Mm.
We have all this. That's one of the things that's great about First Choice, and that allows me to have a life that I can live today, is all the systems that are in place. All I have to do is the paperwork to get a listing, and all the administrative things are handled by the company. And so,
right.
You know, sometimes a buyer is very eager, and I would say, you know, I mean, they're anxious about selling their business. They've priced it right, but, you know, there's not a lot of buyers for that kind of business for whatever reason. It's more of a, you know, their business is really themselves. And
right.
They haven't really structured the business to be for them to be able to be replaceable, which is the number
mm-hmm.
one key that I say to people. If you
right.
want to sell your business, make yourself replaceable.
Wow.
Yeah. So they call me and say, how come I haven't gotten any, you know, and you know, those kind of people, they need to trust that I'm doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're doing everything possible. It's in our best interest and their best interest to get this business sold.
I bet one of the biggest challenges is people turning over their financial stuff for somebody else to look at.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Barbara. It is, you know, especially a person that doesn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
A person that comes on a referral, usually not a problem, but a person that has never met me. So I usually... Before I can really work with the business, I need to know what their financials look like. But I'm happy to meet with them and talk to them about the process and what all is involved and why we need the financial information. What we, you know, how we come up with a market evaluation. And like I say, we do that complimentary for people. They don't have to list with us for us to give them what we think.
Wow.
But it's the market
wow.
that decides. It's only what we think.
So, with all this business stuff going on, Maggie, what's the most fun about what you do?
I think it's, you know, meeting with the sellers is the most fun. Having them you know, I can feel the weight of the world almost leaving them when they find out that there's somebody that can handle this for them. Mm. You know, it's very rewarding when I sell a business, but it's rewarding also when a person just says, yeah, okay, I want to sell the business and I want you to represent me. Right. And the other fun part about it is you know, like I say, some of these businesses, because it is the person and that income isn't, you know, enough to support and hiring a manager to replace that person, so the business is going to take longer to sell. You know, the people stay with me. They don't go try to find somebody else that's going to sell. They believe me that this is going to be a difficult business to sell, and, you know, we may need to do it for some period of time. And, you know, we like a 6-month listing period just because it does take that kind of time. You know, sometimes people are a little nervous about that, especially if they've never sold a business before or they don't know me. I'm willing to do it for 3 months. But I always get an extension. I've never had anybody turn me down for an extension, and that's, I don't know if I say it's fun, but it's definitely rewarding that, you know, that they're feeling good about what I'm doing and having me in their life as the representative of their business.
Well, you know, go ahead. You're going to finish up with something?
I was just going to say, you know, one of the other things that's fun for me right now is that I can do this business, you know, really a lot of it without having to be out in the world. You know, a lot of it's on the phone. I can set my, you know, my times that are good for me. And so I can make it to the gym and do the other things that I know are going to keep me healthy and, you know, keep my mind active. That's the other thing that's fun for me is because every business is so different, you know, there's a lot of learning going on for me. Learning for me is fun. Yeah.
I know. I've seen that as I've known you over the years. But that is our show for today. I'd like to thank you, Maggie Pound, for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to all our listeners, as we'll be back next Monday with another Women Lead the Way radio show with our leading lady, Susie Hager, or Jager. She's president of Theory 73 Corporation. Our topic then will be blending engineering and creativity. Wow, that'll be a wonderful one. I'm Barbara Eldridge, host of Trendsetting Women. Thank you for listening. And do make it a $1 million day.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.